The Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution reads as follows. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. Now, while the original intent and meaning of those words cannot be more obvious, state after state is in fact infringing on the rights of gun owners. We discussed in a previous segment this morning some of what New Jersey legislators and officials are doing. The next guest is here to discuss how far Connecticut is going. What's sickening is how Connecticut, among others, have used the death of innocents as a reason to do what they do regarding the Second Amendment. Here with the details is the chairman of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. He's also the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, author whose books include Black and Blue, How Obama and the Democrats Are Beating Up the Constitution. We say good morning to Alan Gottlieb. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Thank you for being here. We have the links over the website. I'll give them to you here as well for the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. It's ccrkba.org, and Second Amendment Foundation is saf.org. And again, we have all those links over at our website, so they'll be there for your reference. Give us a lowdown of what exactly has been happening in Connecticut. You've compared it in a statement or an article or column with something out of history, a dark time of history when it came to guns and freedom in Germany.
Yes. What's happening in Connecticut is they've arbitrarily banned a definition of a so-called assault weapon that actually includes revolvers and shotguns. And they had to be registered in the state by a certain date or the owner faced confiscation and felony charges, which could include a prison sentence as well. And that deadline's passed now, and an estimated over 350,000 gun owners in Connecticut refused to comply with the response, mainly because of the harassment a lot of the gun owners got when they went in to register the guns, being harassed by the state police. The word got out. Others didn't want to go in and do that. Now these 350,000 gun owners in Connecticut are getting confiscation notices in the mail, and they're going to get their doors knocked on, and their properties will be taken away without any quote-unquote due process and or enumeration for their property. That's very similar to what happened in Germany back before, between World War I and World War II. And first there were regulations on weapons passed in 1919 that registered the firearms, and then immediately they started subjecting people to confiscation. And if you didn't comply, you were in prison for 5 years and fined 100,000 marks.
This is Connecticut Law, SB 1160, if you want to look it up on the web and learn more about what Alan is talking about. And obviously, since it is law, it passed through the legislative process and was signed by the governor. Is, for the uninitiated, Connecticut a heavily Democratic-filled legislature, or have there been Republicans supporting this?
There were a few Republicans supporting it, but the Democrats are so in mass control in Connecticut, in both houses of the legislature and the governor's office, that pretty much they could write the law anywhere they wanted to, and that's what they did. It's so broad, they're very virtue defining almost every semi-automatic firearm, handgun, rifle, or shotgun, as a so-called assault weapon, and they're banning them.
Now, much like I mentioned this here in New Jersey, we had a law. Not a law yet, but a bill passed in the state assembly, still to go to the Senate and the governor's office, that would ban the 15-round magazine clip and max a legal clip out at 10. And the gun opponents are looking at that and saying, well, that's a good start. Are they saying something similar after SB 1160 comes about? Well, that's a good start, and they're looking to do even more.
Yes, that's true, not just in Connecticut or New Jersey, but also in New York. In New York, they limited it to a magazine of 10 rounds and said you could only put 7 rounds into the gun. If you loaded it with 8, you committed a felony and you could go to jail. We sued over that in New York in court, and that part of the so-called New York Safe Act has been declared unconstitutional.
Just curious, maybe, I don't know if you've kept tabs of this or anyone has, how many criminals have registered their guns under the law SB 1160, I wonder?
In Connecticut, 0.
Ah.
And that's, again, because criminals don't obey laws and aren't going to self-incriminate themselves by registering a gun they're not allowed to have. Again, that's the whole problem with gun control, is while it might be this nice concept, it doesn't work because criminals who break laws by nature and by definition don't abide by gun control laws. And so it just doesn't work. It's just a harassment for law-abiding gun owners. You know, none of us want violent criminals or mentally ill people that are dangerous to themselves or others like us getting their hands on firearms. But you can't take guns away from everybody else, and you know, in the process, you've got to do it in a right, orderly manner without infringing on constitutional rights of everybody else. And unfortunately, the gun grabbers don't care about that because their real goal is to get rid of everybody's guns and totally eliminate the private ownership of firearms in the United States.
Starting with Alan Gottlieb, who is the chairman of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, also founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, author of many books, including Black and Blue, How Obama and Democrats Are Beating Up the Constitution, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And you mentioned the mentally ill, and obviously Connecticut's actions are their knee-jerk response to the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting, an obviously tragic event. But what's been absent from any action was any ratcheting up of the responsibility of the medical profession, and specifically the psychiatric profession, because Adam Lanza was obviously unbalanced, obviously mentally ill, Asperger's or some form of the autism spectrum, and yet that area has been the third rail, basically, in this whole debate.
You're right, and what really upsets me the most is before this incident ever happened in Connecticut, in the previous legislative session, there was a bill that would have mandated that people that needed mental health treatment and refused to go in for either inpatient or outpatient could be ordered to go outpatient by the state of Connecticut. That law was not passed. It was defeated. If that law was passed, Adam Lanza would have gotten the help that he needed, that his mother couldn't get him in on his own, and the bottom line would have been the whole tragedy may never have happened.
So what has, I mean, you mentioned how about 350,000 gun owners are refusing to comply, and they're being harassed when they go to apply, those who do. How about those who have been refusing, or what dangers, what risk, what penalties are they staring at right now?
Well, they're staring at fines and a prison sentence. It's a felony charge, and that's what they're staring at. And they're also staring at, you know, police officers not, because a lot of these people had their firearms registered ahead of time. They're staring at the fact that the doors might get smashed in, and you know, and find in the middle of the night, you know, SWAT team agents looking for your firearm to confiscate it. That's what they're facing in Connecticut. And the problem now is because they passed a deadline to quote unquote register the ones that they previously had. What happens now is that they've already committed the felony, and so now they're in trouble no matter what because they can't register it. Now it's confiscation, and so now they're faced with that prospect of, you know, people coming into their houses and taking their property with no compensation.
Has SB 1160 been legally challenged in the courts under the statement that this is a violation of the Second Amendment?
Yes, it has, but just like the legislature in control, you know, by the Democrats who are very anti-gun in Connecticut, all the judgeships are in their control as well, and as a result, this is going to have to go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court before it really gets resolved and gets final action.
And not being a legal expert myself, I do have the understanding of the significance of precedent. If SB 1160 is allowed to stand at a state law, other states and other anti-gun activists can look at 1160 and say, we like that too. We're going to bring that into our state.
That's correct. And so that's why it's very important to get these cases up the legal ladder. We have a very important one going on from New Jersey right now that the Second Amendment Foundation has brought. It's known as Drake, and it basically attacks your draconian concealed carry laws in the state of New Jersey, making it next to impossible for anybody to get a permit to have a firearm to protect themselves when they're out of their home. We have that before the U.S. Supreme Court right now with the cert petition, and we've been lucky enough to get 34 members of Congress to file an amicus brief urging the court to hear that, as well as 19 states' attorney generals urging the court to hear our case. So we're hoping that the U.S. Supreme Court in the next session will take that up by granting cert to that, and hopefully will reform some of New Jersey's really bad laws.
Well, we did have some sad news from sad statement by the acting attorney general of New Jersey, who is urging the Supreme Court not to hear the case, which that might give you some insight to the Christie administration and the views of gun laws. He's been a little more supportive than people were hoping he'd be of the onslaught of gun laws that are happening here in New Jersey. And keep in mind, too, and we talked about this again in the earlier segment with Assemblywoman Allison McHose, there was an individual who was kidnapped by mistake, mistaken identity by three jerks, and taken to Kansas City. He applied for a right to carry permit. He had to appeal three times before he was allowed to carry a concealed weapon out of the fear that any of the friends of these three jerks might come looking for him because of him putting their three friends into jail. He had to go through three judges.
Well, not only that, but before that ever was granted, he was one of our plaintiffs in our suit that's going to the Supreme Court right now. And I think they granted it to him because it was such a grievous act not giving him that permit that they knew they would lose the case if he was one of the plaintiffs. And so they granted him the permit, but only after we filed our suit.
Once again, the Connecticut law is SB 1160. Check it out because it's a dangerous clue to what the future may be if the gun opponents are allowed to have the way to learn more about this issue and the rights of gun owners, how they are being threatened, how the people, we the people, can and are protecting them through every means possible. Second Amendment Foundation, that's one place to look at, saf.org, and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, ckrkba.org. Of course, we have links over to our website. We've been joined by the Citizens Committee Chairman, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, Alan Gottlieb. Alan, again, thank you for, sounds sad to say, but defending the historic, the obvious, and the freedom of Americans. Thank you for doing that, for being here this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for helping me get the information out.